You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia, and you can find me on Twitter as always at @RedRock_Beeble and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Today we are looking at the Oklahoma City Thunder dynasty prospects of the players on their team, doing things a little bit differently, not doing two teams per show. I don't know when the hell we're going to get NBA basketball back. So, yeah, just dropping these as individual teams per show now. Shorter shows most likely, but still more content for you throughout the week to keep you guys entertained while you're vacuuming the floor or cooking dinner or whatever it is. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it indeed. Let's talk Oklahoma City Thunder here. And the first player I'm going to start with is their first round draft choice from the 2019 NBA draft, and that is Darius Bazley, who basically has been a rotation player from day one. Now, he did suffer a knee injury that wiped out the last couple of weeks of the season. He could be back if the NBA season does, in fact, return in the playoffs. He played 17 minutes a night, almost 5 points per game, but realistically, he didn't do a huge amount that got me massively excited. Now, there were some moments with Bazley with his shot blocking. 0.7 blocks in 17 minutes is pretty strong. That's almost 1.5 per 36, which is a pretty good number for a guy who's primarily playing at the four, played a little bit of three as well. But some solid enough defensive numbers there from Bazley. His advanced numbers aren't the greatest, but he did at least post a really strong defensive PIPM, plus 1.82, which was actually second on this team behind Nerlens Noel, ahead of Steven Adams, ahead of Chris Paul, ahead of Gilgeous Alexander. So that's an encouraging thing to see from Bazley as well. And some of that's reflected in that block number. Now, offensively, it was rough. He shot just 38% overall, 30% from three, only 45% on his twos. That did improve towards the end of his little run here. In his last 12 games, he was up shooting 54% on his two. So it gives us, I guess, a little bit of hope there. But overall, the offense has been pretty rough. We didn't see much in terms of shot creation or shot creation for others as well. It really is just coming from Bazley in terms of his defensive numbers. The steals and assists were pretty non-existent either. 0.8 steals per 36 is rough. One assist per 36 is rough. 1.23s is not a good volume per 36. 9 points per 36 is pretty poor. 68% from the free throw line is a struggle as well. Can Bazley be a starter? Yeah, he could. Well, this is a team that started Terrence Ferguson and Lugens Dort for weeks and months on end. So there is a chance he could start, especially depending on what happens with the Italian cock Danilo Gallinari. Better drop that sound for you.
Hands off my cock!
There's a chance for him to slide into that sort of a role and provide way less scoring, obviously, but some defensive numbers there. But he needs to be able to do more offensively. He is still, of course, really young. We didn't get to see him play in college, so there is an opportunity for him to get better. I don't necessarily know that we're going to see it. But 13 blocks in 16 games in those limited minutes is a pretty strong number. So at least gives us something to base it on. When I did my redraft last week, you saw that I did drop him down into the second round. I think that's probably fair. But there is at least a little bit of upside there with his defensive numbers. I don't ever think he's going to be a top 100 fantasy player, though. The next is a bloke that I just referenced, and that is...
Bort? Oh, come on, Bort?
Mommy, buy me a license plate!
No, come along, Bort.
Are you talking to me?
No, my son is also named Bort.
Now, Lugens Dort signed as a two-way guy. I think he's been really impressive in that role, starting over Terrence Ferguson. Ferguson has struggled all career, all season, and Dort took that role, rightfully so. 22 minutes a game, 6 points, 0.8 steals, 41-78 with his numbers, 30% shooting from three. He's not the greatest option here, obviously, the 319th ranked fantasy player this season, but in his role as a starter, I think he's been solid enough. Doing what he needs to do in that position, doing it probably better than what Ferguson did, a positive on-off, which again, some of that's reflected due to the quality of the players that he is playing alongside. But overall, you know, I think Dort has been a surprise, to be sure. Probably should play that sound as well.
A surprise, to be sure, but a welcome one.
Now, can Dort become good as we move forward? I'm not convinced about that. Can he become a volume-type scorer? Probably not. Can he be a solid guy who you look at as a PJ Tucker? That's really, really high-end, what PJ Tucker does in terms of contributions to the Rockets, and they do play different positions. But can Dort maybe be that guy that, you know, knocks on the door of the top 150 by getting some steals and hitting threes at a decent enough rate? He hit 0.8 per game, which, given his limited role, is not terrible. A low usage player. The steals are probably the most interesting thing here for Dort. But I think he could be that top 150 guy for a couple of seasons, but is never going to be able to push into a higher role. And the chances of him being a consistent top 150 guy, I feel, are pretty low. But he did at least show some steps forward, some surprising things so far this season. That you can have him, he'll be converted from that two-way, almost no doubt, so he can play in the playoffs when the playoffs actually do occur, if they do occur. So he'll be converted, a little bit more long-term security. I think he's got the inside track to be a starter there over Terrence Ferguson as we move forward as well in that small forward position next to Gilgeous-Alexander and Chris Paul. And his defensive stuff has been pretty impressive so far this season. Now, you've got so much time on your hands. You could be learning so much new material. And one of the best ways for you to do that is with this great app that you're going to have right on your phone, and that is called Blinkist. We can all sit down and grab a book and read hours and hours and hours, but how much of that information do you actually retain? Getting that information in short, sharp bursts that helps you retain it and become better in whatever field you're looking to become better at, that's what Blinkist can do. It just concentrates that information down for you into these 15-minute takeaways. It's unique. It works on your phone. It works on your tablet or your web browser, getting those best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of non-fiction books, and condenses them down into that 15 minutes that you can read or listen to. Successful people are well known for reading a lot of books, and Blinkist is made for people who want to get that information straight into their brains, getting the main points of those books quickly so you can start using that information right away. I like Blinkist because it helps me get that information in. I don't need to just sit around and have this fluff that I don't need. Give me the points, give me the notes, give me the info, get it into my head. Blinkist, How Champions Think in Sports and in Life by Dr. Bob Rotella and Bob Cullen. That's a book that's available there for you. Tiger Woods by Jeff Benedict. Becoming by Michelle Obama. The 4-Hour Workweek by Tim Ferriss. All these books are available on Blinkist, condensed down into the meat of what is in those books. With Blinkist, you get unlimited access to read or listen to a massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books you want, all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. Go to Blinkist.com/NBA. Try it for free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled B-L-I-N-K-I-S-T, Blinkist.com/NBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/NBA. Let's talk about the next guy on my list, and of course, it is their absolute stud moving forward. That is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, the 52nd ranked player this season, 35 minutes a night, 19-6-3 with a steal and 0.7 block, shooting 47% and 80%. There is still another level that Shai can go to. He's got a pretty strong PIPM. He is second on this team in wins added. His on-off stuff is pretty strong. Now, a lot of this is helped by playing alongside Chris Paul, who's been an absolute master. But the other thing is that by him playing alongside Chris Paul, his assist numbers are low. And it happened last season as he played alongside Patrick Beverley, alongside Lou Williams, who didn't get that full creativity out of Gilgeous-Alexander. But he can average more than 3.3 assists per game. He's averaging 19-6. No reason that can't become 22-6. No reason he can't be a 24-6-7 player with 1.5 steals and 0.7 to 1 block per game. That is a top 15 upside fantasy player. I liked him quite a bit last season. I didn't think he'd necessarily blossom as much as he has. This year, he is going to be a future All-Star. I feel pretty confident about that. He is going to be a future second-round player and could even knock on the door of the first round at some point, because if he gets to 23-6-7 with 1.5 steals and a block on 48-85 on big free-throw attempts, he's already taking 5 free-throw attempts per game. and put him in the role of actually directing the offense, and that could actually increase to 6 or 7 or 8 free throw attempts. That is top 10 worthy. Now, I don't want to throw that sort of upside around just willy-nilly, but he's already the 52nd ranked player playing off-ball in his second season at age 20. Like, there is a long way for him to actually improve on this. Oh, sorry, he's 21. Now, sometimes I go, well, where does this guy get better? It's obvious with him where he gets better. 3 assists to 7 assists bangs him straight into the top 30, like straight away. 19 points to 23 points, bang, you're in the top 20, top 15. Free throw attempts from 5 to 7, bang, you're in the top 12. Like, they are not hard things to see from Gilgeous Alexander. I think he's looked excellent. The 1.1 steals, that can go up. But 0.7 blocks, really impressive as well from Shea. And this is a guy whose blocks last season were at 0.5, which is not a bad number in the 26 minutes that he played last season. Like, his per 36 block numbers, identical. What we did see this season are his assists and steal numbers drop. The assist numbers, we know why. Steals, that's not necessarily as clear. And I think that can come back up as well. There is a ton to be impressed with Shea. 35% on his threes, 37 last year. And one of the biggest things holding him back coming into the draft was, can he shoot? Was the 40% he shot at Kentucky real? Yeah, well, maybe it's not 40%, but it's still reliable enough for him to be an absolute stud going forward. I would be looking at him as a second round guy, top 20 player, without too much hesitation in the next 4 years. And I think that top 12, top 10 is absolutely realistic to expect from Gilgeous Alexander. He has been super impressive this season. And there is the possibility that having Chris Paul next to him has enabled him to do these other things. And then if he's given that role with no Paul, that maybe he falls away. But if the ball goes into his hands, and maybe he's never a 7-assist-a-game guy, can he be a 6 guy? Probably. 22-6-6, 1.5 steals, it's still really bloody good. He'll never be a 10-assist player, I think, or even an 8-assist player. But 6, sure. 7, maybe. Some real value in him still. And again, I don't know if you can get him in a trade in Dynasty. People probably love what he's provided. But I'm not sure that they see that level of upside in him that I currently do with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Let's look at the next bloke, Abdul Nadir, who's been a regular part of the rotation for most of this season. Played 48 games so far for the Thunder. 16 minutes, 6 points, 2 rebounds. 46 and 77 is his percentages. 37% from three is it's okay. It's not brilliant, but it's at least solid enough. Nadir has moments at times. I thought when I saw him at Summer League a few years ago, I thought he was relatively impressive. Attacked closeouts well, defended pretty well. I think he's doing a similar sort of thing here. Offensively, there's still some struggles with Nadir, but he is 26 years of age already. I don't really see him stepping up and ever finding himself in a top 200 fantasy type scenario or being relied upon for 24, 25 minutes outside of multiple injuries on this team or another team that he goes to. So I think what we're seeing from Nadir at this point is about, I guess, what we can expect from him as we move forward. He's probably got another 4 or 5 years in the NBA just kicking around as a 9th to 12th sort of player on the roster. And I don't really see a massive amount of upside in him. One bloke who I think has some upside is MC Hamidou Diallo. Stop. Have a time. Diallo had a real chance this season, I thought, to take over a bigger role from Terrence Ferguson. He elevated into that role and then hurt his elbow. And then Lugans Dort took over and Diallo has sort of been lost since then. 38 games, 18 minutes a night for Diallo. The shooting has been rough from him, 20% from three, 62% from the line, very similar to last season. But he does have an ability to put up some really strong defensive numbers. And that's why I thought, he could be a sneaky top 150 guy if they gave him 27 minutes a night. That opportunity has disappeared from him at the moment just due to the emergence of Dort. But Diallo is still a relatively young player. He's only 21. He's the same age as Gilgeous Alexander. He, again, posted a real positive defensive PIPM. Offensively, there's struggles, but good to have that positivity there. Where does he fit with Dort around, with Ferguson around, with Bazley around? I think he's taken a bit of a step back this season, and some of that has been due to the elbow injury. And I thought there was a real opportunity for him to step up and take on a larger role. 1.4 steals per 36 from last season. He's at 1.4 again this year. But lack of passing, lack of three-point shooting, lack of volume and poor free throw shooting as well is a big downturn from Diallo. So I'm a little bit further down on him than I have been in the past. But he can be that guy who can go out there like a Dort and absorb some defensive minutes and be an okay steals guy. There are just a lot of negatives in his game, which does have a real downside in terms of fantasy value. If we want to talk negatives in games, let's talk Terrence Ferguson, because I don't really see a positive in this bloke at all. I don't know what he does that's good. He's a negative. He's actually the worst player on this team by PIPM. He's the worst player on this team in terms of wins added, and that is not a surprise for anybody who's ever considered him in fantasy. He just hasn't really ever shown anything good. And I think his pedigree, the flashy dunks, the occasional three-point breakout shooting performances, you go, that's okay, but he's averaging 4 points per game in 23 minutes. He's shooting under 30% from three this year. He doesn't get steals or blocks or rebounds or assists. He doesn't get to the free throw line. He actually does nothing. He is one of the worst fantasy players in the entire NBA. He is still relatively young. He's only a couple of months older than Gilgeous Alexander. But there is nothing in what he has done coming in from his time in Australia, for his time as a rookie, for his time as his second or third year player, where I go, yeah, shit, I can see all these things starting to develop from Fergie, because it won't. I just don't see it for him. I don't think we should ever... I think if he ever cracked the top 200, we would be absolutely stunned and surprised. I think we should look at Ferguson as a bloke who is just never... Actually, that's not fair. He was 298th last season, so he cracked the top 300. I was going to say, I don't think he ever cracks the top 300. Top 250 is an absolute pipe dream for Ferguson. And if Andre Robertson ever returns, plus Dort, plus Diallo, plus Bazley, I think his role is not going to be there. In fact, he was demoted down to a 16-minute-a-night role behind Dort, and that's without Robertson returning. I think Ferguson is cooked as a player. He's got no fantasy upside value at all. Maybe he can be better. I just don't see it. I just don't really like him as a fantasy contributor or even a real-life NBA player. I don't know what he does that's good at this point. Let's go on to the next bunch of guys. It's hard to really talk about these guys too much. Deonte Burton, who played 34 games this season, eight minutes a night. Yeah, nothing super exciting about Burton as a player. I think this is his, second season since coming out of college. But it's still, yeah, what is he doing that is good? In his 34 games, his PIPM is a big negative, the second worst on the team behind Ferguson. I don't really see a huge amount of upside for him. Actually, he's been playing around in the G League for quite a while. I just don't see fantastic value from Burton as we move forward. Let's have a look. Where are his G League numbers for this season? He's played 11 games, 14 points, 7 rebounds. The 4 assists are intriguing. The 0.9 blocks are intriguing, but can't shoot threes. That is the real concern to me with Deonte Burton, is the offensive stuff. I don't think you should, again, he's sort of in this, he's 26 years of age, small forward, but with Dort, Nadir, Diallo, Bazley, Ferguson, all these guys ahead of him, I don't really see any sort of breakout coming for him. Unfortunately, he just doesn't seem like a real NBA level player as we move forward. Now, the Thunder did acquire during the season, you may not be aware of this, Isaiah Roby, who was drafted by the Dallas Mavericks in the second round, a big man who's played 17 G League games this season. We really haven't seen anything of him in the NBA so far this year. In the G League, 8 points per game in 17 games, 20 minutes a night. Yeah, that's pretty rough. 6 boards, the 1.3 blocks, and that's the thing with him coming, I believe, out of Nebraska, was the interesting thing about him, being a player who allegedly plays on the perimeter. He's more of a 4 or 5 rather than a small forward, but he's only 6'8". But the shot blocking, the steal numbers, there's a little bit of intrigue with what he can do with those. I think he should have more intrigue than someone like a Burton or maybe even a Terrence Ferguson at this point. There's a little bit of upside. If I was taking a flyer on any of these guys, Roby has that ability to maybe break out ahead of Abdul Nadir, a player who's got a little bit more upside. But we just haven't seen it for him so far this season in the NBA. He has barely played so far. I believe he's played just 11 minutes total, so not really much there. And even in the G League, we haven't seen a huge amount out of him. But the block numbers are the most intriguing. He shot 40% from three as well, which is intriguing. Low volume, but it's intriguing. Now, the problem is he shot 59% from the free throw line. So if you can't hit your free throws, which one of those two is real? That's the dilemma. But there is a smidgen of upside there in Isaiah Roby. The last guy I want to talk about is Kevin Hervey, who, again, when I saw him at Summer League this season, a player that was drafted in the second round a couple of years ago, I thought he looked really good in Summer League this past season. Now, we haven't really seen much of him in the NBA, just 7 games, 3 minutes a game is obviously a really low amount, 19 minutes total, so it's hard to judge too much there. But he's 2 seasons in the G League, 24 minutes a night, 1.2 blocks, 1.3 steals, 7 rebounds. He takes a lot of threes. He's not hitting them well, 29%, but 6 attempts per game. That's an encouraging thing. His free throws are a work in progress, but he's a rebounding, decent shot block defensive type of a player who has some three-point volume. So there is a little bit of upside, I think, with Hervey. He's 23. He's 23 and a half. He's a year older than Isaiah Roby, which I will put Roby ahead of him in terms of prospect ranks. But I think he, in more likelihood, he probably fits into a similar role like an Amile Jefferson, that sort of a player who can put up some okay G League numbers. But are they undersized in the NBA? Yeah, most likely. He's 6'9", power forward. He's an okay size. The three-point volume, shot-blocking, steal numbers are okay to look at for Hervey, but he's not, you know, if he ever had a top 300 season, I'd be surprised. If I'm looking at these guys, Gildas Alexander, obviously top 10 upside, Dort and Bazley, your rotation players, and then you've got Roby with that, you know, deep, deep flyer upside type of a scenario. That's how I look at these Oklahoma City Thunder players. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Give me a thumbs up. Leave your comments down below as well. Share it with your friends. Share it with your Thunder people. Share it with anyone in your leagues as well. And don't forget, after you finish this show, tell your smart device to play today's episode of Chad Ford's NBA Big Board podcast, our NBA draft podcast with Chad Ford, back after his 2-year non-compete deal with ESPN is over. He's back and he is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. So go and check that out. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Bball. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.